we were celebrating the 500th anniversary. So some of you may not be aware that this is the 500th anniversary. And in fact, October, November is the season where 500 years ago exactly, the glory hit that part of Saxony, Germany, where we were. And then it spread across to Switzerland and Holland and Great Britain, UK, and then Scandinavian countries. So, and it, some of the roots after Catholicism, as it came out, was the Martin Luther. So it was Lutheranism or the Lutheran Church, but there were other churches, the Presbyterians and others that started. There were leaders like Zwingli and Tyndale and Calvin and others who gave us. Just imagine a world where there was really, individuals could not have a Bible. In fact, it was illegal in some countries to have a Bible. Even in Europe, where there were Christians, quote unquote. So Reformation was really a revival that have impacted the nation. So it's still vibrating. When I went to Europe just 3-4 years ago, I was feeling something and a vibration that went through my feet to the top of my toes, and I said, what is this? What am I sensing? And God made clear to me that I was still sensing the vibration, that even the earth was vibrating by the presence of the glory that came at that time. But people started taking it for granted. So I want to tell you, we are still vibrating from being there and seeing part of the origins of how the glory came, how revival came and then impacted the culture, and it became the Reformation. So you and I live in the fruits of a nation that was revived by the principles. We call them Judeo-Christian principles, but they were deeply impacted by the Reformation. So the founding fathers of the United States, the Constitution of the United States, all of it has been defined by some of the principles of revival and the glory that came, but part of it was what we call the Reformation. So, but as we celebrate then the 500th anniversary, I felt a challenge in the Lord. God says, what are you and what are we as individuals and as a people of God going to do now on the 500th anniversary to take it forward? What are we going to do? So God is challenging us, but I still, the part of it was there were singing music, some of the music that was I could hear start in Switzerland, even in Belgium, in Bruges. We had a special dinner for leaders. I don't know if you've heard about Bruges, but Bruges is one of the great, if you ever visit Europe, people say, visit Bruges, because it's spelled Bruges, but it's some of the most gorgeous architecture and a lot of other things. It's like the cream of the culture of Europe. Anyway, but the music that we sing is deeply impacted by this, also by the Reformation. So this morning, I wanted to just pray a special blessing that you will have that vibrating revival glory in you, and that a fresh commissioning from the glory. Remember who you are. That Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2, you are a holy nation, a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. So the Bible itself calls you peculiar. So tell your neighbor, you are peculiar. In some places they would say it's you are strange. You are weird. I found I'm weird because I hear from the glory. We are peculiar people because we hear from the Lord and we love the Word of God. Anyway, but Christmas is an amazing season. It's part of the epitome. What are the fruits of it? When the Reformation came, Christmas changed. There was, And the music we sing, much of the music, Christmas songs we sing, are really part of the revival that came at that time. So this is the day, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I came back in time for Thanksgiving. And then the day after Thanksgiving, Bonnie and I had to go out to do something. So we were in some shops and all that. And the music immediately, they were so aggressively playing Christmas music. Right? And did you notice that? I mean, it's so good. I love. How many of you love Christmas? Amen. How many don't love Christmas? How many have been impacted by the spirit of Scrooge? We will pray deliverance for you. So, let me ask you, what's your favorite? I would ask sometime. I mean, I want a list. What are your favorite Christmas songs, hymns, carols? Wait a minute. Mary, did you know? Okay. Who else? Oh, Holy Night. Huh? I knew Belle would say that. I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus. I want a little more spiritual. Do you have other suggestions? I mean, away in a manger, that's right. What child is this? Joy to the world. Yeah, joy to the world is... Who said joy to the world? Awesome. If I had a chocolate bar, I would give it to you. That's also... It has some of the... You look at those, by the way, as they are written. They were written by men and women touched by the revival glory, by Reformation, and they have the most profound theology in it. Some of the foundations of our faith, you'll find them right there. They're singing the gospel, even though they're, of course, it's a Christmas song. So, did we say what child is this? Oh, come Emmanuel. Yep. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. Who is our drummer? Wave your hand. Where are you? Yeah, the little drummer boy. Yeah. Do you hear what I hear? with Bing Crosby, right? I'm dreaming of what. But it's acceptable, of course. Yeah? You got a good list there. Really? That's awesome. And what else? That's right on. That is part of it. The Handel was effective, but there's also Bach. That's the area where I was. A lot of these guys were in that. That rose up in the music around in Germany. But all of it know that the roots are in revival and in glory. That these men and women were impacted and they glorified Jesus in their time. And it is important for us to just get anointed for the new year. This is the time to get refreshed and enjoy. And I'll tell you, for me, being here this morning was my party. This is a Jesus party. All right? I mean, there for me, nothing better than... you are so... Again, I keep saying, Darren is one of the most awesome, amazing worship servants of God. And when he sang, "Come Thou... Come Thou Almighty King." Nobody has that treatment. That the way he sings, I felt immediately in the presence of the glory. And it is, so it is my request, Darren, whenever I come. If you are able to put that in, I love it. I will connect it. It's one of my times where the angel came, and there's a story about it. But realize this: part of what makes Christmas is the songs. And a lot of the songs came from men and women who were filled with the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the same language as we have right now, but they were filled with the Spirit, and they had been transformed and impacted by the presence of the glory of God. So where I was in Germany just a few days ago was around Saxony, and one of it was where the Moravians, not far away, the Moravians had a 100-year prayer service, basically. I mean, they were so dedicated to the glory and the prayer. They were really revivalists, basically. And they stayed in revival for at least 100 years. And as a group, sent the largest numbers of missionaries. And not to be, dark about it, but they were prepared to die for the Lord. So they had their luggage was a coffin. So that some of you may remember that they would pack all their things in a coffin saying, if on the mission field I die, Jesus, I'm already prepared to die for the Lord. I am. And they wouldn't bow to anybody in the sense of giving in. They proclaimed the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were revivalists. They were happy people. They were not depressed. They were not like, oh, do I have bad news for you? We're going to get religious and depressed. If we aggressively don't plant the flag of revival and the glory and the presence of God and stand faithful in it, there is a kind of worldly pressure and a spiritual dark force that takes you, and not only you, but more important, takes our children into the dark zone, into negativity, into disrespect and dishonor of the Lord. And then they are robbed of the blessings of Abraham. They are robbed of the blessings of being aware of the Word of God. You find, for example, when you go to Israel, that you will find, and you can read the travelogue of Mark Twain, more than 100 years ago, Israel, now it'll be a little more, but it was a wilderness. It was desert. There would be Arab Bedouin tribal camel people and sheep and all that. That was the only thing that happened in Israel. It was barren. There was the ancient ruins of some of the cities that used to be there, but that was it. It was not until God restored Israel back, and God, in the persecution, some of you may have seen Russia, the Fiddler on the Roof and all that, where some of them at the end go immigrate to Israel. But as the Jews came back, the glory came back to Israel. And then as Israel was planted back, it literally turned green. And if you go to Israel now, it's loaded with trees. It's beautiful. It's little forests and gardens and industry and one of the wealthiest first world nations. And yet you look across the border and it's desert. What is the difference? It is the blessing of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you and your children are going to walk in those blessings. Say, the blessings are mine. Amen. So we honor the Word of God. I would encourage during this Christmas, whenever you can, in your home, whether other people like it or not, just put on the Christmas carols and soak in the atmosphere of Christmas and say Merry Christmas to us. Amen. I'm so glad we have a president who is not apologizing and saying Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. So, as we talk about the song, I felt like the Lord laid on my heart to focus on the number one Christmas carol. And it's, you may wonder, what, which one is that? Yeah, I will have to bring you a candy bar. Turn to Luke chapter 1. I happen to have my copy of Joy to the World. And it says, I want to read it, just see. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. So here, as we are singing, realize that when your breath is coming out with the faith in Jesus Christ, the atmosphere around you is changing. It's being injected by the name of Jesus. And so you are creating an atmosphere around you. And you are declaring, let earth receive her king. Now, wherever I go, I often, whether I'm in Holland, I mean, whether I'm in Germany, I will make the people stand up and declare, especially in Europe this time, make declarations about Jesus. Because there has been, I'm not against any people group, but there is a religious philosophy that's trying to invade the land of where revival came, Reformation. It's the spirit of radical Islam. And they aggressively, what Christians don't realize is, wherever they go, there is a satanic, I believe, wisdom that comes from this ancient demonic principality, I would say, is that they will go and build centers and try to take possession of any place of worship in the other nations. They will usually try to buy up churches that are no longer functioning, and that building, they will have a Muslim center. And 5 days a week, they will make a declaration that their God, who is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Just want to make clear, and the more you do research, you'll understand. I grew up in that atmosphere around that. So I know about it. So, but they, when they name their God and say he is great, which in the meaning in Arabic is he is greater than your God or any other God. He's specifically what they're saying is he is greater than Jesus Christ and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's different. So they make a declaration. As they make a declaration, the atmosphere is charged with the Antichrist spirit. So it is important. Therefore, I will insist often on having a group of people make declarations saying, above all, Jesus Christ is Lord over Austin, Texas. Jesus Christ is Lord over the United States of America. And as for me and my house, we are going to serve the living God. His name is Jesus. And it's not just like a one-time thing. We want to fill that atmosphere for the sake of our children, grandchildren, and the heritage we want to pass to them. So in that context, let me continue. Joy to the world. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And it repeats there. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. That's saying, hey, whatever you make declare, it's Jesus who is reigning, and he is king. Let all their songs employ, let everybody, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy. So it's saying, hey, even our rocks are anointed. Even our trees are praising Jesus Christ. And that's how we want to dedicate, whether it's Austin or whether it's Charlotte. And I referred to an incident yesterday. I talked about where the rioters came to burn our city last year. And we had to make a put the name of Jesus and change the atmosphere over our city. And in a day and a half, the atmosphere changed. And there was a supernatural peace. And in fact, where the devil meant for harm, God established wonderful new friendships and new allies of Christians. And we have greater aggressive move of God now than we had last year. Because of we saw that we needed to take charge. And that ground, that territory belonged to Jesus Christ, not to the rioters, not to the Antichrist spirit. But if not, see, I'll talk in a moment about the point I want to make. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. Isn't that something? That Jesus is here to break every curse. Wherever there is a curse, it's broken through Jesus Christ. And blessings are flowing on me and my family, my house, my church, my city. Say, blessings are flowing. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Wow. That's full of glory. That's joy to the world. Isn't that something? Now, I may forget to mention this, but we found that there were forces out there that have been hired to take our cities and therefore our nation towards the Antichrist positions, where our children are confused about their sexual identities, whether our children are confused about what lifestyle they have, and even the educational system being taken over by people who are pushing philosophies that are totally ungodly. And what I want to say is we realize there is, you know, we had many years ago in the United States the Great Awakening. Well, we need to have a new Great Awakening and realize certain things. Like, for example, Charlotte was in the headlines. Now, I'm not putting this in Austin, but I'm going to then tell about Austin. That in Charlotte, in the city government, because the Christians were absent and not conscious, the people we found out who turned up at city meetings were the people were representatives of these alternate lifestyles. They aggressively knew these are the positions of power. And they showed up. The Christians were absent. Now, they sing their songs of praise and all of that, but where the government was taking an action, where the city council would meet, there would be almost no Christians there. And we realized when the voting came, see, let me make a point. They brought in a vote just not too long ago in the city government that the bathrooms would be made, you know, for a man could come in and use a woman's bathroom, whatever, if he felt like it. Anyway, I don't want to create controversy here, but say that it is because the Christians were pretty much absent. So these weird things were being brought in. So whether you like it or not, you would come into the city. The bathrooms may be forced where your daughters may be forced to go where a man is also using that also. I mean, these are the things that happen when Christians are put to slumber. So we looked at the voting and we realized that when the voting time came for city positions, like mayor, city council, all of that, that from basically about less than 8% of the Christians in that city were really participating. The Christians were absent. So as we come to this prophetic shift I've been talking about. I am praying that some of you who have grace to be interested in some of these other events that are happening. We are not, I quoted, we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Say, I'm a royal priesthood. That means you are king and you're a priest. You're a priest. What we did, I would call it mostly a priestly thing, worship, praise, prayer. The kingly thing is we rule. Therefore, we do pray and legislate. Do you know the Ephesians call this one of the seven pictures of the church is a legislative body. What we legislate happens. So we, from here, by our prayer and then our active participation in what is happening in the local government then and the national government. I feel an imperative to share that just because it is a time for us to take the wave of revival into where it really matters, where the city governments are concerned. I just wanted to feel like I feel a shift in Austin, a prophetic shift where the Christians are going to be more active and more in revival and change the atmosphere over this city as we are seeing the change happening over Charlotte. So I feel like that's part of it. And the important part also is for us, I'm going to declare basically as we begin this coming year, you know, about 3-4 days into the new year, we're going to start a 40-day fast for praying for this nation, praying blessing on our cities, for our children, for our culture and people, and that we would take the Reformation forward. All right? How many of you would be for that kind of thing? Amen? Now, I'm inviting you to set aside a few days to pray and shape the new year with your prayer and your fasting. Okay? Say prayer and fasting. Glory to God. Okay. Now, I want to, just for the next few minutes, I want to share with you the number one song on the hit parade in the New Testament. The number one carol is what we call the Magnificat. This is the song of Mary. The angel of God says, Mary, the Most High is going to bless you, and the shadow of the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you are going to present the nations with a child called the Christ child. So that happens in the first part of Luke chapter 1. And now on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, when an angel visits you, believe me, it is impacting. I've had some angelic experiences, and I want you to know that it is so impacting that I need a new set of Pampers. I mean, it is, it's not like, oh, an angel. I mean, it is, because the angel comes from the presence of the glory. And he carries the Shekinah with him. And so there's an angel that gives that living word to Mary. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Even this morning, as we talk and I share with you scripture, supernatural things are happening to you molecularly because the glory is behind the word of God. And this is the season of glory. This is the time where the angels say, Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, shalom. And when they say shalom, I mean it should vibrate through your body. Shalom is wholeness and prosperity and restoration. All of that is in shalom, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So we are called to enforce and release this word in power as royal priesthood. You are royalty and you are a priest. My mother was a bona fide royal princess from a royal house in India, and she grew up many years ago now, many in the early part of this last century, in some of the royal houses. And she would, as a little girl, would be around some of the kings of India. So she would tell me later in her later years what she saw. And when a humble farmer would come and visit the king of that region, there was a kingly way of carrying yourself. And the kings had learned that from generations, they had royal food, they had chefs. There is a show on Netflix of the foods of India, but they are mostly from the royal houses. So you see it's quite interesting. Raja, Rasoi, Eni Kahania. Someone from India. That's Raja means kings, and Rasoi means their cuisine. But by the head chefs in the 14th century, they had logs of what they served the kings. I just want you to know that the Bible calls you kings and priests. Now, for a long time, even though my mom was a widow, if there was a family who visited us, we would cook meals and all. But when they would leave, for the woman who came, she would always have a gift of a golden bracelet, a golden bangle, they call it here, or a gold little necklace. But they would always get a little gift of gold. You know why? Because my mother said, I said, Mom, why do you do that? Said, because they have visited a princess from India. And you are a royal priest. Realize that there is a way of conducting ourselves, that we don't conduct ourselves like others do. We have been transformed. And this is what you see in Mary. When she sings that song, Mary's the great first hymn or Christmas carol, my soul magnifies the Lord. She has been visited by the glory of God. And a revelation comes to her. My soul magnifies the Lord. Say, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And then, you don't need to repeat this, but for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Say, he who is mighty has done and is doing great things for me. All right, now I want you to stop on that for a moment. Do you agree that he is mighty? Say, he is mighty. Well, I want you to think of five great things that you would like for him to do for you, for your family, for your children. This Christmas, what specific great things are you praying for? Is it a specific healing for a loved one? Or a new house for your married son and daughter? Or what? A scholarship for your child? Or a promotion? What are the mighty things that you're claiming for yourself, for your children, for your business, for the church? One of the things, by the way, that I want to report here is that in Europe right now, there is something happening that I have no explanation for, really. There are many things I don't have explanation for. But they are arranging meetings, religious meetings, gospel meetings, in certain villages in France right now and other places, but especially I heard about France, that there were, if they could expect in a hall of 200, if this called a meeting, if 50 people showed up, they would be very happy. Now, not only did they find out packed out, but thousands waiting outside. And it's unbelievable. The hunger, there is a supernatural hunger and salvation of souls that's coming in Europe, that I am saying, Lord, don't forget America. We want revival in our land. So I am speaking this just because I want to inject the atmosphere and say, we are going to have the same revival. God is no respecter of persons. So anyway, as Mary is singing, you find basically she is the first person who is totally transformed by the Christmas message. According to the Bible, she is a person that the Christmas message has come. What is the Christmas message? That God's only child became humanity so humans might become God's children. So God's only child became human so we humans might become God's children. Therefore, he says, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We are God's children. And God is, through the blood, the most powerful agent of change in the universe. That's why we take communion, and the blood we are applying over ourselves. We are pleading the blood. But the blood transforms us. So it's not, you're not using psychology. I'm going to think positive thoughts and I'm going to, No. It's let the Holy Spirit come and transform you and I. I am being transformed by the glory. Say, I'm being transformed by the glory. And Mary has experienced what? The overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. We get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it should impact us at the root of our being. And Mary, it takes her a moment to comprehend what has happened. And then it hits her at the center of her being. It is not just overcoming negative thoughts. When you have a true experience with Jesus, you know it. There's some power has come that has shaken you to your depths. And that's where then says, my soul magnifies the Lord. Because my foundations are totally shaken. There's, in that hymn, it says, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. I love that. And as she is transformed, I remember for me, when that missionary is here, I was a Hindu boy, 15 years old, and I got the Bible. And 900 years of Hindu tradition, it defined me. But the Word of God, as I started reading, the Word, it is not just a religious thing, I want to tell you. The Word is alive. And let that Word become alive in this season for us and for the coming year, 2018. It's the year of the Word of God coming alive and transforming you and I. And every promise of the Word of God is going to come to pass. I'm believing it, releasing it for us. And so for me, as the Word became alive, it took a few months, the Word would come and almost chase after me. It would not leave me alone. I wanted that thought to go away, and it would not. And one night, then the conclusion, I was zapped and I went unconscious and in the glory, slain in the spirit at my reading at the table, and I was taken into the glory realm. And that's where I met Jesus. And he touched me on my shoulder and said, my little brother. When I woke up in the morning, I was at the table. I didn't go to bed. I was knocked unconscious. For hours I was in the glory. And when I knew Jesus is Lord. And I was to serve him and him alone. And everything else did not matter. I got on my knees and received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was transformed at the roots. And that's God is making you and I people who are transformed. So the part of the Christmas message is that not only was Mary transformed, but every child of God, your destiny is to become a child of God. And that we are going to impact the nation. And she's saying, how can this be? It is amazing that you see. For he who is mighty has done great things. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. Say, he's filling me with good things. And the rich are sent away empty. As he spoke to our fathers, to our Abraham and his seed forever, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. It is, when others are getting dressed up and all that, you know, the time of the year, and we have a hallelujah party, Harvest Festival at our church. And so all the kids get dressed up. And I love to be there with the kids. And so I was given by several places. I went to Congo and other. They gave me these royal robes of a chieftain, an African chief. So I put on my African chief outfit and put on a crown. And when the kids come in, they are dressed up in different things. They meet. One of the first person they meet is the King of Africa, who has got a bag of candy and a blessing. They get both the candy and a blessing. So every child gets hands laid on them. And so I have several Wonder Women who have hugged me, little Wonder Women. And then, different people, Star Wars kids, things like that. And but then a little kid ran up to me and just poof, put his arms around me. And he had an eye on his eye. He was in the special outfit. He was super something, but I didn't know what it was. It was an eye. I said, I never heard of an eye. What are you? An eye. And he said, I am the Incredibles. And I said, come, bless me. Give me a hug. I have been blessed by an incredible blessing. But anyway, Mary is talk about incredible. She says, I have been visited by an angel, and it's incredible what has happened to me. I don't understand completely, but this is what I needed. And it is, and the whole thing of wonder, say wonder. That's the wonder of Christmas. I was seeing in Switzerland, in Belgium, in Germany, in Switzerland, boy, I'll tell you, they go full blast. They decorate all the stores and the streets. They're good. They love Christmas. Anyway, but the wonder of Christmas, you find Mary filled with the wonder of God. But for me, as I'm coming back, the man who chauffeured us, he insisted he wanted to bless us and did whatever he could. But as from Liechtenstein, just a few days ago, and he drove us to Dresden and took care of us just beautifully. And he said, And he was still so grateful. He said, 19 years ago, you were in Leipzig and you were in the Colosseum. And my wife was there and she had stage 4 breast cancer and she was dying. And you were in Leipzig, Germany, and you pointed to her and said, there's a woman right there who has got stage 4 cancer. Come, God heal. And for a moment, she could not believe that I was pointing at her. And then she ran up, and instantly, the breast cancer. I mean, God healed her. And 19 years later, there she is, actively blessing her church in Liechtenstein. And it makes you hear, after all these years, I didn't even know about it. And she said, you pointed at me. And I mean, they're still in the wonder. There is a wonder in the glory that I want to encourage you to explore for yourself, for your children. There is signs and wonders. And it's there, and many of this will come and bless you. Well, I was in Belgium, for example. Sounds like a missionary travel on. But I had a blessing night where, most of the pastors, leaders came. And of all things, whole bunches of pastors from Saudi Arabia. Something is happening, by the way, prophetically in Saudi Arabia, that you may want to intercede and keep breaking through in the spirit for that. But I bless them. But there were whole bunches of Africans who came. And there are pastors now in France, in Belgium. Belgium used to be Belgian Congo. So these are people who had the right to come to Belgium if they want to live there. And they are pastors. And here are men in their 40s and 50s. And they would come, and they would not stand for get a blessing. They came, they knelt, and usually they would have an envelope for me. And sometimes, 1,000, 2,000 euros cash. And they came to honor the man of God. They come and say, bless me, Pastor Mahesh. When you were in the Congo, I was 9 years old. And I came to the Lord, and I knew God called me to be a pastor. I mean, there are churches all across Europe, in Belgium, in France, of young men who got converted in my crusades in the 80s, where Austin Cathedral, the teams here, all of them, which supported our mission in Africa. Many of you were there strengthening us as we reached out to Africa. Anyway, glory to God. So, joy to the world, the Lord has come. As Mary was transformed, let this time of Christmas transform you and I afresh. And the meaning of the message of Christmas not only needs to transform us, but keep on transforming our nation. We are on something is happening, but we need to keep pushing through in prayer and fasting. He is doing it now. Say now. So there are breakthroughs, miracles, incredible, awesome revelations of glory that are now. I'm seeing them now, and they are coming even more. He who is mighty, say, he is mighty to save, to heal, to restore, to deliver, to transform, to give revival. May the Holy Spirit overshadow us this Christmas. And remember what the angel said, and I will repeat it. I said it this time I was here. Nothing is impossible with my God. Say nothing. Is impossible with my God. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Thank you, Father. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap. We praise you. Praise God. I want you to raise your hands. You can remain seated if you want, but say, He is mighty.
He is mighty.
He is mighty.
He is mighty.
And He is doing great things for me, for my family. His mercy endures forever. And He is doing wonderful things in my family, in my church. We love you, Jesus. We say thank you for Christmas. Thank you for coming down and giving us new birth. Help us, Father, to celebrate Christmas, to rejoice in you. We wallow in your love, in your mercy. We rejoice and celebrate the Son of God who has come to give us new birth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Fill us now with your Spirit. Now take a big breath. Hallelujah.